Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind UK Season 2, recap of episodes 1 and 2. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I didn't mean to make all that rhyme. That was coincidence.
Shout out to everybody checking in already. Toy, we try to tell you, talking about a barely finished episode 1. Y'all quick. Hey, that's not always a bad thing.
Toy got to be at work. She got to be to work. She got stuff to do during the day. She just can't watch shows and work like some people.
You know, I will say this, it's easy, especially the first two episodes, just how to kind of get through these, because it's a lot of it's a lot of just the meetings, right? And the initial parts of it. yeah, Matt, pause. Seeing this show now, this is the second time we're doing Love is Blind UK, but we've done the other ones as well. What do you think of this? What stood out to you about Here It Is Season 2?
So what stood out to me about this one is they don't have as much fluff conversations in the UK version as we do in the American version. And what I mean by fluff conversations is in the American version, there's people from people who have to take notes because we're content creators. You're hearing random conversations and you're putting, you know, making notes of somebody, but then that person might not even make it, you know, through the first round. Where the UK one, it seems like all of the attention were on the people that had a story. They had a storyline. Right. It wasn't a lot of extra fluff. They threw in a few like dates and, you know, people make some faces because someone said something dumb, but it really wasn't as much. I noticed that. I think I'd mentioned this when we did season 1. I was like, okay, again, everybody's pretty much attractive. And I think here, for the most part, everyone is pretty much attractive in this one. So now I might not be, I'm not attracted to everybody, but I can't say there's anybody, I can't say there's anybody that popped on my screen where I was like, damn. You know, they're not that. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But they're all good looking folks. Right?
But that's what you've been saying you want. You want Love is Blind to be Love is Blind. Throw somebody ugly in there once or twice. Like a two or three.
Yeah.
At least maybe a four.
Throw that CrossFit instructor in with a 400-pound person and they fell in love through the wall. And then let's see if Love is Blind after that. I mean, that's to me would be the experiment. But whatever. TV, I get it.
It'd be up against the wall listening like, I can hear you breathing. Are you sleeping or?
So tell me about your family.
Shout out to YouTube channel member Happy Gardeners. OMG. I have not watched one episode yet, but I'm back. This is my type of programming.
Welcome back.
And Toy says, these episodes are so long. Are they?
Hour and 2 minutes, hour and 4 minutes, hour and 5 minutes. Love is Blind is always an hour.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, you just got to fast forward through the fluff. That's why I love that 10-second fast forward. You can just kind of get through some of the little crap they have in the middle.
Yeah. it's good. And by the way, to Happy Gardener and to Materialistic, I haven't watched one episode yet, but hey, look, here's the deal. You'll have tomorrow. We're going to do episodes 3 and 4, right? So we have time to get through these, and we'll go through real easy on this. And you know, there are no dead giveaways yet, especially not today's. But let's get into it first. You said, they're really focused on a lot more couples and the storylines, and instead of all the fluff and going through all these individual people who have nothing going on. So let's get with Billy and Ashley. Billy's from Ireland. He's in the army, and Ashley. Yep. Hey, we already got a match because she was in the Army Cadets, right?
Yeah, they both have that in common. She has a lot of respect for the military, so I think that's great for Billy, and it's great for him. They both have dogs. Mm-hmm. He has a cocker spaniel named Ale, and she has a dog called Jack. But Ashley's been single for 4.5 years. So this story was interesting because Billy was married 5 years ago and they were both in the army and both fell out of love. And so I'm curious to see how this couple's going to work out.
You know, you took a lot more notes on them than I did because I left the dogs out completely.
I like dogs. You know, I'm going to talk about the dogs.
And I don't. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about them. you know, are we going to run through these couples as they went through in episodes 1 and 2 and just go through it completely, right? So all their dates. So their second date, they really started talking, having the sex combo, which, you know, everybody has that in these seasons of Love is Blind. And I thought what was interesting is that Ashley's the one that started that conversation.
She wanted to know what you're about, what your intimacy game is like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, hey, if it ain't there, then let's just cancel it and move on, right? Well, he passed that test. Billy passed the test. On to the third date where they start talking more about family, right? Yeah. And this kind of got a little emotional for Billy because he got emotional talking about this. And he was like, damn, why am I so emotional?
Yeah, because him and his dad are apparently really close. Mm-hmm. And his dad is going through some health stuff right now. But he said that whenever he has to travel, his dad is going to come to London and take care of the dogs. Right. So they have this close relationship and he gets emotional about it. And I think Ashley appreciates the fact that he was vulnerable.
So women are always talking about wanting men to be vulnerable. So, and I know we've had this discussion before and the conversation never gets old or never dies. The man cries. Is that a red flag, green flag, or a yellow flag?
Depends on what he's crying about. If he's crying about his dad being sick, mm-hmm. green flag, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If he's crying because, oh Lord, my power's about to get turned off. I don't have any money to pay my light bill. That's different.
Is that broke or poor? By the way, Materialistic said this is the most British looking man I've ever seen. That's funny because he's actually Irish. Yeah. Now, that was a funny comment though, because that's great. Yeah. you know, the fourth date. Before they get to the actual fourth date, you saw the comment earlier from Toya saying flight attendants can't catch a break even across the pond because Ashley is what they say is cabin crew, right?
Right.
And you can see Billy's slight hesitancy in the very beginning. And she's even said that that's kind of what messed her up, her previous relationships, why she hasn't been able to have a meaningful relationship because she's always on the go. Well, that's also bothering Billy. It's messing with him. He's thinking that it could possibly hinder a potential marriage.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
I think it's valid. Billy's feelings are valid because in Billy's mind, what a marriage is we're both home after 5 and we're going to have a family. We're going to have kids. We're going to do kid stuff.
Right.
His idea of marriage is not she's gone for 4 days, comes back for 2,
right.
gone for a week, comes back for 6 days, gone for 10. You know what I mean? Like that's not what he wants, but I think that he's jumping the gun, to be honest, because you just met her.
Right.
Right. And she's open.
But in this dating, you got to think that way fast.
Well, you do, but you got to think, okay, do you want to do this forever? And she's like, no, if I found a relationship and that, you know, made me want to stay and not travel all the time, I would totally do that.
Okay. And that was a valid question, right? Because it's the thing that you have to look at. It's not what somebody's doing now, it's what they're going to do because we all evolve, right? And like Mimi says, it's valid, but she said she's willing to give it up, which is exactly the point. And that's why that question has to be asked, right? And that's why it has to be discussed. And I like the fact that he brought it up because, yes, Karen, they do seem like a good couple. But I like the fact that he brings it up and tells Ashley he's dated cabin crew before and it hasn't worked out. And to which she should have said, stop projecting your terrible exes on me.
Fair, because I know people that won't date folks in the service industry.
Yep.
That, you know, people that are, you know, car salesmen, people won't date them. There's certain industries and groups that get stereotyped as being either cheaters or all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I get the nightlife, right? If you're dating someone in the service industry, they work nights, you work days. Yeah, I can see why that wouldn't work out. But I think Billy is really overreacting here.
I do like, though, that they addressed this early on. Here it is. It's the fourth date, but still early on. It was on his mind. He's like, well, let me get in there. Let's talk about it immediately. And because through that conversation and all the things that you said that she said, like, oh, willing to give it up. I'm not going to do this till I'm 85. It made him realize that, you know what? This could be it.
Yeah. And I'm glad because I was nervous watching this, that date. I'm like, oh my God, is he about to end it because she's a flight attendant? you know, or cabin crew. I'm like, that's going to be your reason. You met someone great. You have all these feelings, but her occupation, that's going to be the deal. So I'm glad that he talked it out, because a lot of people don't do that. In a dating scenario, you kind of, in your mind, you process, this is not going to work out. And then you let the other person know.
Exactly.
He was just like, hey, here's what's bothering me. Let's talk through it. And they did. And I'm glad that they're still pursuing each other.
Like Happy Gardner says, back in the day, I would never date football players or Omegas.
Well, I can see why the second one.
Probably good. You're probably better off for that.
I can see why the second one. You know, football players, all of them are bad, but you know, I don't know about cues.
They have their fifth date, right? And it was a country two-step date with each of them having pink cowboy hats.
Yeah.
Because Billy is into the Western wear and the cowboy life, right? A little.
Yeah.
What did you think of this date?
I thought it was really cute. I'll be honest. I thought it was a cute date for them to be able to dance, kind of. Because I couldn't imagine what it's like to be in those pods and just sitting and talking. But let's get silly and goofy. And they weren't too far off. She can't dance at all.
To save her life.
She can't just, but that's totally fine. He can lead her, but she doesn't have a lot
Thank God he couldn't see her dancing.
Yeah.
He might have ended it there. Cabin crew is fine, but that dancing's got to go.
Yeah, but I thought it was a cute date.
Uh-huh.
Really, I did.
Yeah, it was good. Right? I thought it was really good. By the way, Happy Gardner said she married a Kappa who played tennis.
Sorry about that.
great choice.
The tennis player, yes. Great sport, tennis.
So Ashley gives Billy a thimble, and I thought I missed something, so I almost had to rewind, because I'm like, why is he crying? What did I miss?
I don't know, because I missed it too. So I'm like, why the thimble? It's a thimble. It's not like this is a thimble that's been in my family for 150 years. Mm-hmm. You know, no, it's just a thimble that has some hearts on it. I don't know why he got all mushy, but that's, maybe he's sensitive. Who knows?
You know, Ashley then asks him, what's the first thing you're going to do when you see me? And Billy says, I think I'll tell you I love you. Yeah, they're going to kill me.
And then we'll get some corned beef and cabbage.
Her reaction to him saying that, though, I thought was great, because she was shocked. He caught her off guard. We know this. When you see this happen on Love is Blind, the formula is the same. We knew this was going to happen because on the next date, we have our first engagement.
Right.
No surprises, right?
No surprise at all. I mean, she told him that she's his girl and she's all in. And that's all. I mean, that's all a man wants is confirmation. If I'm going to put my heart out there, I need to know you're in the same boat. If not, this doesn't go well.
Exactly.
So I was expecting this proposal to happen and expecting her to say yes.
By episode two, early on in episode two, as a matter of fact, they had their meetup. Anything that stood out to you from their meetup?
I thought they looked good together. What I laughed at is she was trying to spin him around. Like, oh, let me get looking. He's like, no. Let me spin you around. You ain't about to make me look like.
It's like too late. You cried twice. I haven't cried once. Spin your ass around here. Yeah. Don't see dope, mother. You don't want to be crying all the time. What she should have said. Okay. No, they're a nice couple, man. I like them. I think they're going to be good. Next up, interesting couple, these two. Patrick and Anu, right? As we see them in the pods, you can see the chemistry is there. You know, it's kind of weird because Patrick follows his spleen, and he's a human design coach. The follows your spleen, as soon as he said that, and then I heard he was a human design coach, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Whatever that means, it makes sense.
It reminded me when I worked at Whole Foods, all the little weird hippie folks that are into whatever. It's just out there. That whole, I follow my spleen because you know, your gut is not, you know, your spleen is better than, I'm just, Jesus Christ, man. Just, you're out.
But you got what he was saying. Basically saying he follows
I get it, but it's like, why do you have to differentiate? Why can't you say, I follow my gut? Then go, well, no, the spleen is better.
Yeah.
Because then 10 years from now, someone's going to say, you know what? It's actually your kidney. I trust, I follow my kidneys instead of my spleen.
Paris says, I thought that was so corny.
Yeah.
And I understand why people say that, because it actually came back to bite him later when everybody thought he was just a little too over the top, right? But we do find out these two have good chemistry. Even on the second date, they get into the whole upbringing. Patrick is Jamaican and Nigerian. Anu is Nigerian. And he's like, yeah, I kind of figured that just from your name.
Because of her name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
you talk about
she's
his...
telling. Huh?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Anu is telling him about her grandmother in Nigeria and telling stories about growing up in Nigeria. He's like, yeah, I actually spent a year there. And as she's going through everything, like, oh, they had to go get fetch water in a pail. And he's like, yeah, I did all that. She seemed surprised. Like she just thought, okay, grandma's telling me these stories about walking uphill to school both ways. Right. He's like, no, this actually happened. But I thought it was a good conversation with them still.
I thought it was a good conversation. The fact that they could just relate to each other in a whole lot of ways. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
You know, his dad was strict and Christian. His mom was open to any religion. So the whole religion conversation, because you know how I am. If one person is strong in this way.
Yeah.
And I wondered about this couple. So I'm like, okay, she's deep in the G.O.D. Mm-hmm. He's in some other stuff, whatever he's into in the spleen and all that. It's just weird. So don't know if that can work out, but, you know, hope it does.
Here's the thing, though. You notice their conversations as they're happening, and he says something and she takes it back to God. He's like, oh, brought it back there. Cool. And he didn't make a big deal about it when it was happening, though, right? Toya says something about Patrick is fake to me. Were you getting any of those vibes?
Yes.
Really?
I get those vibes anytime I come across people who are like that. It's just...
To me, it's just weird, and that's it. And I didn't get fake. I just caught he's out there. He's in his own world and doesn't care what anybody thinks. Right. Third date. Anu said a lot of women, again, saying that they feel like he's just too spiritual, even though she's the more religious one. I think she missed what they were saying because you were saying that he's more Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, very much so. But do you recall that she said that she thinks he's the most intelligent person here? Of all the guys' dates that she went on, Patrick is the most intelligent.
And it sounded like you were going to say, like, yeah, no, maybe she needs to go on a couple more dates.
No, I thought it was a good compliment.
It was, yeah.
Indeed. Yeah.
She does ask Patrick if he would want to wait till marriage to consummate the relationship. He's like, yeah, well, no, if you're asking me, no. But if it's something that you wanted to do, yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah, how many guys say that crap? Oh, yeah, I'll wait. Sure.
99.9 of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait on you, but I'm going to find somebody else.
No, it's just that guys feel like women feel they can change a man. Guys feel, well, I can convince her.
No, there's not enough second and third base, whatever y'all think that means in the world, to have me wait till we get married. Sorry.
Now he does tell her that she is his number one, but something about that interaction didn't sit well with you, huh?
It didn't, because she didn't reciprocate anything. It was just like, oh wow, that's nice. It's kind of like if you tell someone like, I really like you or I love you, and they're just like, oh, thank you for saying that. It just feels like, okay, this is
a brush
awkward now.
Yeah,
it feels awkward now. So I think that's what the vibe I got.
Quinn Too Pretty says Patrick would look 100% better without those braids. Happy Gardner says his hair and those shorts and socks show that he's quote unquote out there.
Yeah. Hey, don't come in here talking about people with braids. Apparently that triggers folks. And so
it's okay if it's a man with braids. That's apparently.
Yeah, I talk about a man with braids, it's okay. Talk about a woman with braids, then I'm the problem.
Yeah, well, technically you are. actually, sir, you are the problem. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us, man. Whether you're part of the live crew or watching this later as part of the replay gang, do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications as we roll on to the next couple. And I like this couple right here. Seeing them, the energy was just so good. Cal and Sarova. What about these two stood out to you at first?
Interesting to me about Sarova. I love her name. mm-hmm. but she's only dated Indian boys. She's never mm-hmm. dated anyone else. And so I was thinking to myself, okay, this is an interesting experiment mm-hmm. for her to come into the pods. Who knows what she could meet? Mm-hmm. But she was willing to be that open.
Yeah.
I thought that was positive. Cal seems like a pretty good dude, you know, co-owner of a gym. You know, he's fit, good looking guy.
You notice that they're both owners because she owns a medical company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, they align, right? And we kind of, I put on notes on their first date. Chemistry is undeniable. And he gave their first date a 10.
Yeah.
Which was great. So second date. I like the questions asked here. How would you deal with change? Great question, right?
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's important. You know, relationship, yeah. just how you deal with just the different changes. I thought that information was good.
Okay. Women like a man to be vulnerable. We know this, yeah. right? I mean, yeah. we saw that earlier with Billy being really vulnerable, crying every 2 seconds. But Cal decided to share some, you know, family drama and talked about his brother's addiction.
I didn't like that.
Why?
Because I think it's okay for you to be vulnerable about yourself, about your life, your upbringing. But why do you got to bring your brother, your siblings' stuff onto Netflix in front of everybody? You know what I mean? I feel like that's okay. If people who know him, they're going to know who he's talking about. But I'm just saying, I feel like that's someone else's story to tell. That shouldn't be your story to tell people. That, yeah, my brother used to be on drugs and all that. And after his fourth stint in rehab, he finally got it together and got married and da-da-da. And he's been sober for 2 years. That's not something I think I should share. That's my brother's story to tell. I just didn't like it. I get it. It's great. But I just felt like that. It just bothered me that he did that.
Even though Corey agrees with you, I'm going to say this.
Thank you, Corey.
You said anybody who knows him would know. Yes. And that means they also know about his addiction.
They might not. Everybody might not know about his addiction.
Okay. All right. I guess so. The other thing that popped up here, I do like, though, that Sarova thanked him for sharing.
Yeah.
As he did all that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. So, again, I like the chemistry between these two. We get to the third date and we get some more family dramas. We find out Sarova really misses the Christmases together because her parents divorced 8 years ago. Yeah. And what's interesting about that, because she is what, 4 years younger than Cal, right? And she explained what the time in her life that happened. And Cal's parents divorced around that same time in his life. So something else for them to bond on here, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not too far off because actually he's 32. She's 29.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole family dynamic, because I was wondering where she was going with this whole story about her family and Christmas.
Right.
And it boils down to when the families were together, the parents were together. They had these Christmas traditions that they did. And it was just the family. It was just them. And it was this bonding thing that she misses and loves. You could see kind of the sadness in her eyes of how it's changed and it's never going to be back mm-hmm. to that. But I like that they both align that if they were to be together,
mm-hmm.
they would want to establish their own thing. I thought that was cool.
Now, Quinn saw something that you and I didn't see. I missed this in here. She says, why did he need to tell her he usually dated blue-eyed blondes? What is the point? Well, if that's what he usually... She'd only dated Indian boys, so if the question is asked, don't ask the question if you don't want the answer.
Yeah. I don't know why he would have told her that. I missed that, if that happened. But I don't know why he
What's wrong in that? If that's, and I say, what's wrong in that in the sense of if you ask the question and he answers, then that's what it is. Because he had a type. And that was his type.
Yeah.
Right, which would probably make her feel a little insecure, but at the same time, they're having good chemistry. But then something else comes up. The first hiccup comes up when they discuss heritage, because Cal is English and Pakistani,
mm-hmm.
and Sarova, as we already know, is Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Now Cal's question: Oh, will her family accept him?
Yeah, and. For those that don't pay attention to geography outside the United States, a lot of negative history with these two groups.
And that's exactly what they were talking about. Which, you know, so here's the interesting thing, because it's like, well, maybe we can be the bridge, right? And that's how they end that date. But when they get to the next date, Cal walks in and is like, all right, let's just talk about the elephant in the room right now.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to get past this or not? Because I know we laughed about it last time, but damn, I'm mixed race. And not only am I mixed race, half of that is Pakistani. We're supposed to be mortal enemies. Are we even supposed to be talking?
Right. I respect that he did it because you gotta figure that out. You don't want to go into this, get engaged, fall for somebody, and then you have all this family drama. And kudos to Sarover for answering that well. Mm-hmm. You know, she tells him, she even told him that she only dated Indian men, but she's working hard and focusing on what makes her happy instead of what makes her parents happy, because she only dated Indian men because that's what her parents told her to do. Right. And I know so many people of Indian descent that they have that mindset. I got to do what make my parents happy, make my grandparents happy. I'm like, why not just make yourself happy and date a white dude, date a black dude, date whatever.
Well, that's because that's the American way to think. Stop it. Stop trying to push everything on everybody.
I tried. There's this one girl in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I was just thinking, you're in Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah. Not the Indian people here.
Your dating pool is zero. Toya says, think about it. If they got together, got married, and people really like them, they change a lot of minds for Indians and Pakistani people, right? Well, at least in the family, because even Sarova said her family has had kind of, there are a lot of mixed marriages in the family now, right?
Yes, she did, but she didn't say mixed with what? She just said mixed.
I'm assuming what?
I don't know. Just didn't say mixed with what. So I'm like, you know, you would hope this is going to have a good, happy ending that is going to, you know, change other people's minds. But that's the same thing people said about black and whites dating in the 50s.
True.
And 60s. True. It'll change people's minds. No. And here we are today. Still hasn't changed people's minds.
Change a few. That's it. Well, we have our second engagement. As Cal shows up the next date with his broken heart shirt and proposes. We got our second engagement. We got two. I mean, here we go. I told you, they're rolling through this. And Happy Gardner has a great point here. She says, this is great. They're both owners, right? Owners are great. But who has health insurance and a retirement plan? Oh, wait. This isn't the U.S. Never mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Who has that? The U.K.
Hilarious. And Quinn, yes, you did jump ahead, but you know what? And I was like, damn, maybe we did miss it, because we actually literally asked, like, hey, did he say this? But it's okay. We'll talk about that tomorrow. All right. Again, do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. You know, I had to take a quick pause as we get into the darker side of the dating pods.
This is the ethnic section. It's like a Walgreens.
Look, I said this the other day, and I mean it. Love is Blind UK has more diversity than Minnesota.
It does.
Plain and simple.
100%.
Minnesota was, okay, never mind. Let's just not go back there. All right, so Javen and Katisha. See, even the names. Tell me if you got this when he came on the screen. Javen, pretty damn cocky and extremely sure of himself.
100%. Okay. 100%. He said he's naturally competitive, but he doesn't have to compete to find a woman.
Yeah. It's the laugh that gave it away, too. Hey, Happy Gardner says it's not the ethnic section, it's the Shea Moisture section.
Nope, that's not what it says in my CVS. It's ethnic section, and you got about
really?
6 inches of retail space between five shelves.
This tell them, is where tell you them get that's not the norm. When need a little bit more space.
In San Antonio, there was one that's like huge, but it had the lock and key on it because it wasn't the best part of it. I'm just like, people stealing hair grease? Look, yes. I just want some tea tree oil. Just want to get some tea tree oil. I got a call for somebody. Yeah, anyway.
Come on back, Terrell.
I went back there for a second. I'm like, seriously, tea tree oil.
Back to Javen and Katisha. Because here's the thing. Katisha is the oldest of seven. Javen is the youngest of five. Now, I'm not into astrology, but people take that very serious. Do they also take childbirth position seriously too? Because her being the oldest and him being the youngest, they're like complete opposites, right?
I don't know if people do that. I don't pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm the youngest, but I don't pay attention to that. But if people do,
and so I'm the oldest. Here we go. You know, I never thought about that. You are. No wonder you're such a brat.
Exactly. Maybe it's true.
Yeah, it may be. Mimi is pointing out that the same thing that you said. Javin keeps making comments as if this is a competition. He seems very unserious. Yeah, and it kind of gives that off in the pods a little bit too. As we go through this, you'll see. Because here's the thing that's interesting. Katisha says she usually goes for the emotionally unavailable man.
Yeah.
And I need you to keep this in mind because it will come back up. It will come
back up. Oh, yeah.
Second date, though, we find out a little bit more about both of them. Javin's extended family is in Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. And we find out that Katisha is Jamaican, of Jamaican descent, right?
Okay.
Even though she's never been, and he's like, well, hey, we can go together. I can be your tour guide. Let's go.
He goes every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do this.
Which is dope. I like that. Right. So again, we're seeing some connection here. And then we see Javin going, okay, let's explore a little bit more. How important is sexual chemistry? And Katisha's like, yeah, it is, but emotional chemistry is more important. And then she goes off about emotional this and that notes, and he's like, yeah. Now back to sex.
Yeah, but what that mouth do?
How many times?
How many times a week do you want to have sex if you're in a relationship? Let's talk more about that.
Yeah, the women are not feeling Javin already. Karen, I don't like Javin. Corey, I can't stand him. Damn, already?
Yeah.
But that's that cocky attitude that comes off. And see, here's the thing. Ladies, you ask for a man with confidence. That man is walking with confidence. Why is it all of a sudden you just don't like him? What is it? What has he done to you?
Cheated. Confidently cheated.
That's not till episode. Okay, no, stop. Oh, man. You know, they do have good chemistry, though. I see red flags because she says, who she's describing, I'm seeing here in the pods with her talking to her, right?
That's her usual type. Her usual type that's not worked out. Mm-hmm. That's who she's talking to right now in the pod.
Exactly. Happy Gardner says, note to self, I don't like Javin when I watch episodes 1 and 2. No, Happy Gardner, make your own.
Yeah.
Don't let the live chat influence you.
Get on the bandwagon. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. Yeah, you don't have to follow. Don't follow everybody. So Demola is another person that Katisha was really connecting with, right? And I thought it was funny that when they first get in the pod, she's asked him, hey, do you date much? And he's like, nah. And we went, nah. Yeah. But then I like what he said after that. He's like, I date with purpose.
Yeah. And I think Katisha liked that. And did you catch them? She was like, you're really soft-spoken.
Yes.
And he was like, what? I could get a little more loud and aggressive. She goes, no, it's calming. I like it. And I thought that was a great compliment.
It was.
Yeah, I thought it was a great compliment.
But, okay, the way she said it, I understood why he responded that way. Because she's like, you're soft-spoken. He's like, well, okay, I can speak louder. Like, no, it just... It feels like you're whispering in my ear. Yeah. And we're like, well, come closer, baby. Yeah. That's what he should have said. Come on, Domino.
Give her some ASMR and be like, yeah, so the other day. Or I was thinking more like the whisper song. Wait till you see my... Hey, girl. Wait till you see...
Corey says, I like Devila. He appears to be a good, caring guy. You know what? It's funny you should say that. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Quinn Too Pretty says, Devila's a good guy. Opposite of Javin. Damn.
Yes.
Is he? This is not the left and right shoulder already. Oh, is that what we're doing? But it does seem that way. I get it. It does. He came off that way at first, right? Devila does ask, what does your wedding look like? And Katisha's like, I don't know. I haven't had it yet.
Fair.
But at least she laughed.
It doesn't matter what it looks like because Netflix is going to do it for. Uh-huh. It's going to be just like the other couple's weddings.
I don't know. I didn't ask the producers yet.
Yeah.
good point. Here's the thing, though. Demola goes back to the men's quarters. And I know we're not covering a whole lot in the men's quarters and the women's quarters, but this part I think was very important. Because I feel like he messed up by telling Javon who he was interested in.
Yeah.
You 100%. Agree?
Oh, yeah, I do. You don't do that.
Right.
You just got to keep some stuff, like, keep it to yourself. That's the thing about Love is Blind. Anybody that's ever going to go on it, when you go into the pod, don't come out talking about who you connected with. And don't give any details. Keep it secret.
Yeah. Make it a kitty. Keep it to yourself. Yep. Elson says, no names in the lounge. New rule. Yeah. That's not going to happen. And we'll see that in a little bit, too. Second date, Demola came in with a rhyme for Katisha. What'd you think of it?
Not a fan. And my thing is, if you're going to write some poetry, you got to be good at it.
Wasn't good?
No, it was. It was. I'm just saying, like, if that's not your gift, go ChatGPT it. Have it write it up for you. But it just wasn't all that great. I like the fact that he was showing a very softer side, which is something that she's not used to. He was very intentional in a lot of things that he said. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that she's used to somebody coming at her this way. You know what I mean?
Ladies, ChatGPT or From the Heart?
You would know. You wouldn't know if it was ChatGPT. Because you can still modify, throw some other couple words in if you want, but you're not going to know.
Thank you, Quinto Pretty. Leave that boy alone. Materialist says you can definitely tell. And Corey says From the Heart. So Demola did the right thing. Okay. So Katisha tells us about her moving out of a house when she was 17. And then Demola, the talking family, he's talking about his grandmother. He gets really emotional in that moment. Good touching moment, right?
It was a good touching moment because he's really, really close with his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she had recently passed away. But I think, again, it was another opportunity to show this soft side to Katisha that she's not used to seeing in men.
And that's why when she described him, it was sweet, kind, and caring. All true, but also a death blow.
It's 100%. That's straight friend zone vibes. No girl calls her homegirls, be like, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I got this guy coming over. He's sweet, kind, and caring, and he's gonna, you know, blow my back out. No.
Is that how you envision women's conversations going?
They're just like men. We say women are, I believe women are different. They say the same crazy things that we say. But just saying, no girl can't wait to hook up with a guy who's sweet, kind, and caring.
Oh my God. That's true. Well, here's the thing. She also then talks about Javon and how he's more like her usual type, which is what should scare her away and push her more towards Demola. I'm worried about Katisha right now.
Yeah, I am too, because I think the whole purpose of this experiment is not to go for your usual type. But I think what happens is people are comfortable in certain environments that they're used to. So if you're used to dealing with guys who don't match your effort, used to dealing with guys who are closed off, not as vulnerable, it's easy to do that because you've seen that movie before. You know how it ends compared to date someone else. Like, oh, this is different.
What do I do? What do I do? By the way, Materialistic says sweet and caring can make up for a lot. Don't ask me how I know.
Yeah, you can have somebody you can go get shoes with at Macy's on Saturdays. Yeah, it's awesome. Damn. I'm just saying, sweet, kind, and caring that's not what I'd want. Someone to be like, I met this guy, Terrell. He's sweet, kind, and caring. No, I don't want that.
Mimi says, I'm concerned that Katisha is about to be a repeat offender. I am too, because Kira says, Demola is emotionally intelligent, and I think that scared her because she's used to F-boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because she's had the guy cheating on her the whole time. So, you know,
a lot. Yeah, a lot.
By the way, before we move on, because we were talking about ChatGPT, Happy Gardner wanted to let you know that ChatGPT helped on two HR issues today. Just saying.
Yeah, and did those employees go, wait a minute, this looks like GPT. From ChatGPT. This was they won't know the difference.
Absolutely right, Corey. Terrell is out of control. I don't know what's wrong with him today.
What, What did I do? What did I do that's out of control?
Let me count the ways. These two right here, Jed and Barta. This was, I like these two. Jed is half Lebanese, Barta is Albanian. Great chemistry, right?
Yeah. Yeah, great chemistry. You know, she's not religious. They both want to have kids. Mm-hmm. There's so many positives happening in this date. Yeah. They're just clicking every bit of their conversation. I was like, okay, this is what a good, like, I watching this, I can get why people get excited in the pods. Because keep in mind, you can't talk to anyone else mm-hmm. except the guys. So I can get why people can just get so wrapped into up, yeah. these conversations and wrapped up in a person.
Yeah, exactly. Jed even described it as wifey vibes, getting wifey vibes on date one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think. Elson says Barta may have a kid by wedding. How much they talk kids. They might. There's one on the way. There's three people at the altar.
The ring, please. Hold on.
Stop it. Now they're going to really think you got yak in your
This is just ice water. It's all I'm drinking is water.
Trust me, it's way worse if there was actually something else in there. Mm-hmm. Sophie and Karen, right? Now, this is going to be interesting because we're going to go between it's the first love triangle that we're really yeah. – well, the second love triangle. The first one is Katisha, Demela, and Javid. This is the second one, right? It's yep. Karen, Sophie, and we'll get to the third angle in a few. But – Kieran, the entrepreneur in the gaming world, and Sophie, I forgot what she said she does, but she's like, yeah, it pays well. That's all.
Yeah. So Sophie's, man, she's interesting. That was the first note I said about her, said she's interesting. Mm-hmm. She says she's still single because she treats dates like interviews. And what do you see her doing? She's interviewing people, mm-hmm. just firing off questions like she's Lois Lane. She's yeah. trying to get information out of folks. And then was telling everybody to tell her dad jokes. I was like, you're just out there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about that. That's not a bad icebreaker. Tell me a dad joke, right? And you got to get some of people's sense of humor.
No, because it's one thing to say, hey, tell me a dad joke because I like dad jokes. I'm going to laugh at any of them. She didn't like any of the dad jokes that was said to her. And she up and had this disgust, like, there's no such thing as a good dad joke. I mean, that's why they're dad jokes. They're not going to be, there's no comedian that's going to have an hour set of dad jokes. It's not going to happen.
What do you think about Karen being in a 7-year relationship that ended a year ago? Is it too soon for him to be there?
I thought about that, but then I said, you know what? For some people, you could be in a 7-year relationship and it starts to go south year five. Mm-hmm. Well, then you have a couple years to kind of start to emotionally check out. Mm-hmm. And then you got a year by yourself. So if he's healed, if he's, you know, gone through some therapy, he's in a good place, it's possible.
So I think I know the answer to this, but they both want kids, right? Two, max of three, because according to Sophie, she doesn't want an ugly car.
Yeah.
Was that too much?
Yes. Everything about Sophie comes across as surface level materialistic.
Quinn Too Pretty says Sophie's very smart. Some men actually like that. She is.
We didn't say she's not smart.
Okay.
She comes across very surface level mm-hmm. and materialistic.
Do you agree with Karen then that Sophie is cold, comes across cold?
She does come across that she doesn't have a lot of emotion.
Yeah, there's that part. I can agree with. But she does admit that she's never let anyone completely in. Is that a red flag? I'm assuming you're going to say yes.
Well, yeah. At your age, you haven't let anybody in. Okay, well, what are you doing? Why are you not letting people in?
Yeah.
And why do you think this experiment is where all of a sudden you're going to let your walls down and let a stranger you've never met in? Get out of here. You should go through some therapy before you try to get in relationships.
The other side of that triangle had Kieran and Megan, right? Mm-hmm. Who's a yep. dancer who wants one kid and wants to adopt another, right?
Yeah.
I think they had good chemistry, Megan and Kieran, on their first date. Immediately.
Yeah.
She goes back to the quarters very loud, letting everybody know who she's into.
Mistake again. just like Dimola, don't go in there telling, you know, who you like. But you're right. I think what I liked about their conversation, because it wasn't so much deeper than what he had with Sophie, but it seemed more reciprocal. You know, he's asking stuff, she's asking stuff. And it was just kind of this back and forth. And it just seemed easy compared to the conversation with Sophie. So that's what I liked about their first date.
Now, the second date they had, it gets to the sex conversation, right? Because it starts about what do you find passionate and all this other stuff. And it just goes.
Yeah.
It gets really hot, bothered, and slippery in there.
It does. I mean, they both like good flirty banter. The slipping and sliding off each other, because he says he sweats a lot and she does too. She goes, I guess we'll just be slipping and sliding off each other. And that's what I know Kieran like that. He's like, yeah, girl.
Tell me again.
You can tell me more about that.
So that being the case, on his next date, and this is the one again, we're going around this triangle a couple times, because he's back in with Sophie and he tries to have that same passionate conversation with Sophie that he had with Megan. And Sophie just was not there to play that game.
She was not cooperating whatsoever. Just very vague, one-word answers. Just
he wants the horny part of stuff, but is that bad that she doesn't want to talk like that?
Well, he didn't say, like, what's your favorite position? I mean, I think there's a difference talk about it. Are you saying it got edited out?
I'm just using one of your tactics, sir. You don't know what he may have asked it. See how that feels?
How do you feel about ass play? And then they edited it out.
Yeah, exactly. That could have happened.
Could be. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having conversations around expectations with intimacy. I do think, okay, you don't want to off the jump tell me your favorite position. What's the freakiest thing you've done? You don't want to do that. But I see there's nothing wrong with what Kieran is trying to do here.
Because where do you go from there? We start talking sex that early and all freaky stuff. What? All right, I'm no longer looking wifey. I'm looking for freak night, right? So and maybe that's
you go back to the room. That's where that's where you go.
Corey says Sophie's so closed off because she's scared of being vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah, sad. Again, therapy. You should be able to get some therapy. You can't get in a relationship with somebody if you get in all dealing with all your stuff. It's going to have a negative impact on the other person.
Interesting thing is that he keeps trying to push and, hey, I need more. Sophie's like, look, you won't be disappointed upon seeing me. Okay. That's she can say that because she knows what she looks like.
Right.
He knows better than to trust that.
Yeah.
Because not everybody who says that means that.
Yeah.
Okay, no, they mean that, but they go wrong.
Yeah, that turned me off about Sophie.
I knew it would.
It just did, because if you saw what I look like, you know you have nothing to worry about. Ugh.
Well, that she was kind of trying to let him know without telling him. On the other side of it, when he's back in his date with Megan on their third date, they start talking about biggest insecurities. Again, breaking down more walls, getting to know each other a little bit more. And there were quite a bit here. I mean, Megan said her job, but then, you know, the fact that people don't think it's a real job. But Kieran got a little deeper.
Yeah, he did. Because he mentioned that his parents got divorced when he was 3. And his fear is getting married, having kids, and getting divorced. Which was, I could relate to that. That's why there's no Terrell Juniors. But he's really passionate about wanting a partner that's going to be a caring mother and that's going to be nurturing, because he didn't have that from his mom. So he's looking for someone to kind of mom him a bit. And he told her, hey, I'm kind of, what do you say, needy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's needy.
He is. Yeah. At least he's self-aware and he knows that. But I think, and you know, that's okay. We hear that. Okay, whatever. But then we hear Megan's story and her story about her dad. I mean, the fact that he was not in her life, he left when she was, 1, and she went to see him once a year or something like that, and then not for a while, and then he walks into a pub that she's working in when she's 17. Neither of them say, they both know who the other one is.
Yeah.
And they act as if they don't know each other.
Right.
And then he comes back in the week that she's off, and leaves a car. that my mind is blown. How?
Yeah. I don't know.
Jesus.
I couldn't imagine.
I don't get it. I don't get it. That was a wild story. Karen's back in with Sophie, and now he's like, look, I went deep with Megan. I need to see if I can do the same with you, Sophie, right? And she's like, yeah, I don't do that.
I don't really do that. I don't really do that getting deep stuff. Next question.
That was kind of wild the way she did it, right? Yeah. And then so he's like, all right, well, we still got to try here. Let's try here. I don't want to be disappointed. What does success look like to you? And she's like, I'm in it, except for my love life.
Yeah.
She is just, to your point, not a lot of substance, but she's just closed off. That's all there is to it, right?
It is. And he's trying to he tells her that he's trying to get more out of her because he's really wanting to see, you know, something deeper from her. And she's just not getting it at all.
Yeah, not at all. But, you know, then she does when she leaves because she's asking, am I self-sabotaging? And then she's in the pods and she's hearing Megan gush about Karen. And she goes, okay, well, maybe I do need to change what I'm doing. So on a fourth date with Karen, she tells him she's ready to let her guard down. And then tells them about her issues with her mom, which, yo, bad parenting is international, apparently, because, geez, this mom was wild.
Yeah.
Because what'd she do? They divorced, and then her mom picked her new man over her kids.
Yeah.
Which kind of affected Sophie and all this. She says it's hard for her to love someone because the one person that was supposed to love her unconditionally felt like someone else was more important.
But her dad still loved her unconditionally, and she's close with her dad.
Yeah.
So, like, I would think you'd have issues, you know, getting close to women.
Yeah.
Compared to men. And what I'd have hoped she'd have dug into, it's great that she shared that story, and I think that's positive. Mm-hmm. But I think Karen probably wants to hear a little bit more about her vulnerability when it comes to relationships. Mm-hmm. What are some things she struggled with? What are some of the challenges? I think that's what he's trying to connect. He can't fix the problem with her and her mom. Then he can do about that.
Yeah.
But he needs to understand what he's getting into emotionally with somebody that doesn't seem to let her guard down at all.
Well, that kind of explained why, at least a little bit, right? If he really wanted to. Things are a lot easier over there with Megan. And you kind of see that when he's in there with her on their next date. Because he gives her an ornament. I didn't get this. Did you understand? What was this in the smell goods and all? What was that? Explain.
It was a Japanese ornament that's supposed to bring good fortune.
Ah.
And then he, I think, sprayed it with his cologne. Mm. So that way she would know what he smells like.
Now, when he did that, did you know in that moment that this was going to cause problems?
No, because it happens all the time. American version, UK version of Love is Blind. People give each other gifts all the time. I didn't expect it was going to be this big a deal.
Gifts are one thing. Something especially that smells like you is a little different. That's really that's a little bit more intimate, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I think the problem is Megan shouldn't have went back into the lounge. Everybody look, smell it. You know, look, she did too much with that.
It smells like a 2 mile run. You know, what's hilarious is, and almost devious on his part and egotistical on his part.
Yeah.
He knew that she was going to do that, right? Because the minute the screaming happens and we hear it, we realize the quarters aren't too far from each other. He goes, I think that's for me.
Yeah. I'm going to assume positive intent and that he gave her that just from the heart.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to spark anything or cause any drama.
Okay, if you say so. Sophie notices it and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to go into a fight with another woman for him. And this is where we end off episode 2. You know, a lot of things in here because Kira says Megan is very open to the process when compared to Sophie's coldness. It's a clear decision for Karen. You agree?
I think so. I would agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree with that, because Sophie's not giving you anything. Mm-hmm. And the whole goal is you're going to propose. Kieran can't propose to somebody that's not sharing anything about themselves.
Now, Mimi asked this question. Do y'all think he's settling for Megan? It really seems like he likes Sophie more, which I thought so at first until he kept trying to dig for more. If she gave him more earlier, I would agree with you, but she stopped giving. By the time she did, it was too late.
Yep. Right? Yep, 100%. It was too late by the time that she tried. And she did get vulnerable, but I mean, fourth date.
Mm-hmm.
It just took a lot.
And Kira agrees, says, you know, I think he's trusted his instincts with Megan. It does feel like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It is really interesting to see how this kind of plays out, because I did think that at first, like, yeah, he really likes Sophie. And then Megan just started to grow on him a lot more because she was more open. The conversations were a lot freer. And you can tell that Sophie, because we can see her, she's accustomed to men chasing her down, falling to her feet and, you know, kissing her feet and all this other stuff. Right. That's what she's accustomed to. And mm-hmm. he's just like, I can't see you. I have no idea what you look like. So give me more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which if he had met her in a pub, he probably would be focused on Sophie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hands down. Hands down. Elson says, I was until he heard Sophie wants some expensive bags. Yeah, she did mention some expensive bags. I mean, yeah,
materialistic.
I make good money with the gaming world, but I need to keep that. Let's see. A couple of things that are in here from earlier. Oh, Elson says deadbeat dads are international. And yeah. About that story, Happy Gardner says, I swear I saw that in a movie.
What story?
About Megan and her dad.
Oh.
Are you saying she made that up? That would be wild.
That would be. Plot twist.
By the way, Happy Gardner also wanted to let you know that in RVA, Richmond, Virginia, we have a big, beautiful section in CVS, Target, Publix, everywhere. Ethnic section.
No, she said we have a big, beautiful section. Does she mean ethnic section or just big and beautiful?
I'm assuming, because you said it was a small, that she means a big
ethnic section. I'll assume that too. Because if they have a big and beautiful section, I'm like,
there's a whole store for that. Stop.
But I'm sure there are a lot of places that have larger ethnic sections. I just find it funny when you see the ethnic section, depending on what side of town you're on, it's either really small or slim,
mm-hmm.
or it's like, you know, a whole lot of shelves.
With a lock.
With a lock. And with somebody with attitude, when you ask to get some tea tree oil, they look at you like, The stank face.
Target don't give me the stank face.
I'll go to Sally's. Sally's, they're nice in Sally's.
And yes, she said it is the ethnic section. There's even a hair store called The Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. You can find all the all the stuff you want. All the weaves, all the hair that you, so you can identify them even better. Make some RVA connections here. See, 804. All right. So here's the deal. Tomorrow we're going to be doing episodes 3 and 4. Gets a little more exciting in episodes 3 and 4. And so looking forward to that. And then next week. So we got a lot to go. Ready to Love on Sunday.
Yep.
Monday, King's Court.
Yeah.
Shout out to the ladies in King's Court who are jumping in the comment, Ariel and Brianna. And then Tuesday, Random Thoughts. Then next Wednesday, because we've got episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8, right? Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. So another 4. So we do 5 and 6, then 7 and 8, and then we'll have 9 and 10 the following week.
Yeah. It's a busy couple weeks for us. We do this because we love all of you guys, but it's a lot for us to have to watch the shows multiple times. Oh,
stop crying. What do you want, a cookie?
No, I just want people to understand. It's not like we just watch it and just hop on camera and start talking. There's a lot of stuff. And we have day jobs, but you know, we do it for the our peoples.
Mimi says, let me watch those tonight because watching 1 and 2 today before 7 was rough. Now you know how we feel. And Paris, yeah, I know about RVA. I know about the 804. I was there for, what was it, 2.5 years? Yeah. Yeah, so I know about it. Lonnie B and the Arden Noise, all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, thank you, Matt. Boo-hoo, Terrell. Thank you. Thank you. I thought it was just me noticing that. He's over here being Billy. Wow, I'll shed some tears in a second.
Look at Matt. You want my sympathy, Terrell? Look at the dictionary between shit and syphilis. That's where you'll find my sympathy.
And on that note,
Major pain.
Oh my God. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts and some of the bullshit from the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.